Fuck it, guys. I'm here to address a hurtful statement I made a few videos ago. I stand by what I said. I'm not a sexist, nor do I condone being a sexist. But, I mean, that's what I said, and if you don't like it, you can go away. Now, I understand that many of you are upset by what I said, because to you it may have seemed hurtful. But you have to understand, and you have to look into yourselves to find the problem. Because some of you may be jealous of what I've made for myself, or created for myself. And that's not my problem, that's your problem. But now, it's time for the talking hour. Now, what's it called again?
The Sock Jig Sneaker Podcast. Is not wearing Fear of God essentials in the summer? Welcome to episode 18 of the Sock Jig Sneaker Podcast. I'm your host, Sock Jig. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Sock Jig. This episode is all about sneaker hot takes. It's gonna be a take quake. So, I asked you for your sneaker hot takes and you heeded the call. So, we'll play some of those takes and I'll react to them. Plus, of course, I'll have my own hot takes. And I know what you might be thinking, hey Sock Jig, your takes are usually very well reasoned and sensible, not awful takes that you just flip-flop on, to which I say thank you good sir, as I hand you a sack with a dollar sign on it. Well reasoned sneaker takes will continue next episode. This week is all hot takes. No bullshit, just the hottest takes. This is Big Boy Podcasting. You can tune into Kice or Sneaker Shopping with Carrot Top for some lukewarm takes. But a warning, if you're from the PC police, you have to tell me, otherwise it's entrapment. I know my rights. Okay, I'm starting off too hot, so let's talk about pickups and what's on feet this week, and then I'll debut a new segment called News and Views. Ah, shit, that was a little loud. Pickups lately, since last time I recorded, I picked up the Alien 380 blue ones. Those are pretty nice, I like them in hand. I know not everyone is a 380 fan, but they're pretty comfortable. The foam runners that came out, the mineral blue and the other one, you know, taupe or sand or, you know, whatever it's called. The ghost green Jordan Lowe's, I picked those up as well. Those are officially underrated because I've seen them sitting and they don't go for that much of a retail. It's great. The shade of the green is really nice. It's the OG shape of the Jordan 1 Low. The exposed foam I could have done without, but it doesn't really ruin the shoe, but good summer wear. I got the Kith 990 V3 from the early access that came out. It was nice to see that those were easier to get this time. I got the Pierre Moss Blue Sculpt. You know, Bach Bros represent. Don't have those in hand yet. They're still in transit. I can't wait to kind of wobble and break my ankle in them. I picked up the Onflame Amber 700. Those are like some Shadow Realm Wave Runners. They're not as nice as the Sun one, so I probably won't keep these because I have the Sun one, but I'm just going to put it on the shelf and check prices later. On feet, most of the week I had Snow Beach Air Max 1s and the Ghost Green Jordan Lowe's that came out. This is Sock Jig's News and Views. Here's my 2 cents, gang. Concepts and ASICS are releasing a sushi-themed shoe. Never once have I thought I would like my feet to look like the belly of a bluefin tuna. Did I hear this right? H Captcha now wants you to draw a box around the fattest pussy? Maybe it's just me, but I don't think that's appropriate. The more I think about it, the more I appreciate shoelaces. A great, great invention. Kids in hype clothes look like little pricks. Fuck you, Taylee or Crayson or whatever your name is. If you only get one shoe for the rest of the year, it should be the ZX8000 Lego shoe. Black is a great color for an Air Force One, but for my money, white is the best. I don't care what anyone says, Hitler was a bad man, and you can quote me on that. Has anyone ever worn a Nike Blazer? I mean, really? When the Jordan Lightning 4 releases, I think that shoe will sell out quickly. Here's the dirty truth, gang. If you have sneaker art on the wall, you need to grow up. At no point have I ever thought, it's time to get into sneaker restorations. Sneaker YouTube. I don't know about you, but I don't want to listen to a man talk about sneakers for an hour.
Time for your calls with balls in the comments section. So get to higher ground, stay away from windows, and nail down the dog. Because it's about to be a take quake.
Oh, fuck yeah. Right. First off, Man Shoes Huncho from New York City.
This isn't a hot take. This is actually a fact. Sneaker Twitter kids rather get likes from other dudes than make money.
My favorite topic on this podcast, really. You know, flexing can have a business purpose. If you don't flex, did it really happen? And you know what? I'm not going to lie. Getting 50 likes is pretty nice. You know, a nice mini endorphin rush for my tweet about Grimace wearing Kith Pippins. You know, it feels pretty good. Anyways, solid take, quick and effective, said with conviction. Thank you, Man Shoes Huncho.
Hey, Sock Jig. My partner compelled me to provide a hot take, as we are both sneakerheads. I'm new to your pod, and I'm a new fan, but my hot take is remove all binary sizing. I'm over it. You know, there's nicer silhouettes and nicer colorways that are being provided only for men in men's sizing, and I think that's complete, utter garbage and needs to be absolutely scrapped. No binary silhouettes, no binary colorways. You know, women and gender nonconforming people want to wear nice shoes too. Just kind of scrap it all and redo it. That's my hot take. Hope it gets on the pod.
Oh yeah, ladies love Sock Jig. That was a call from Olivia. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it very much. You know, I had to look up what binary sizing meant. I was like, oh shit, a new inclusive term just dropped. You know, I think it just means make all hype sneakers available in all sizes. An example is this weekend's, those Ronald McDonald Jordan ones that are coming out. Those are only available in sizes 8 to 13 in most places that I've seen. I don't even think they come in GS sizes. Sometimes Europe has them in men's sizes in, you know, size 4, 5, or 6. And that's what Olivia is saying here, that all those ones should be available in all the places. And I know there's like a debate among women that there should be more women's exclusives on one side, and the other saying, fuck women's exclusives, make all shoes available in all sizes. Some of the bulkier silhouettes, like a Jordan 7, you'll probably have to redesign to be in a smaller size, but that's not necessary on, say, you know, a sock style Yeezy 350. You know, brands have gotten better at this than they were 3 or 4 years ago. You know, most before it's mostly GS sizes, some women's drops. Now there's more exclusives and kind of more of everything as more and more women are into it, but you know, still not enough. One thing that is different is Yeezy does this pretty right. You know, Jordan does it pretty well, better than before. And things like, you know, Nike SB doesn't do it very well at all. And some of those shoes are made, but not always available. You know, brands can make these, but it's not always up to the brands. Stores have to order them. These Lily made Jordan 1s, the Canucks colors ones that dropped, they were available in a size range of 8 to 13 women's. Even though 7W is probably the most common women's size. So it's a women's exclusive, women's shoe, but none of the Canadian stores were like, let's get them all for men, basically. You know, you can actually just look at the resale market and see that women have a lot of control over what resells these days. Women love Yeezys. You know, the prices of the size 5.5, 6 are way higher than size 8.5, 10.5. No, here's a hot take. Yeezy is still hot because women have carried it the whole time. You know, anytime I've seen a cream 350 on foot, it's been on a woman, not on a man. It's the same for Jordan 1, GS, mids and lows. You know, lately they've cooled off, you know, probably because, you know, the Nike controversy with China and where the cotton is produced. And, you know, Chinese citizens were like, yo, chill. Jinping says we're off Nike right now. Chill. So, you know, mids and lows and all that GS stuff has gone down a little bit lately. And the other, you know, the best example of this is also the Air Force One. You know, obviously everyone wears Air Force Ones, but you see it a ton on women. If you look, you know, size 6, 6.5 men's always sells out quickly. And that's because, you know, 6 plus 1.5 is 7.5. You know, 7, 7.5 are the most common women's sizes. So women control a lot of the market. That means they want these shoes. So the demand is there and the brands should listen to them. The store should listen to them and make more available. So thanks again, Olivia, for the call. You believed it. You said it with conviction. You didn't pause or stumble over your words or anything. Solid hot take.
My sneaker hot take is that Soulink's Twitter or sneaker Twitter could make you more money than most cook groups can make you.
Oh yeah, my favorite rivalry, cook groups versus the Link boys. Really, affiliate link stuff, it takes a lot of work. You always got to be online. You always got to be around for drops. This year, there's like 3-4 drops a day. You got to sit through queue and take screenshots. You got to post it onto Bitly so you get your affiliate link. You got to, you know, put hashtag ad and everything. You got to schedule a ton of tweets to send later. Now, people used to shit on Soulink all the time for leaking. A lot of times people thought even he was secretly in their cook groups and leaking that kind of stuff. But these days, monitors and bot quick tasks and such are so fast that Soulink is not really that much of a competitor. But really, the hardest part about doing this affiliate link stuff is building an audience and, you know, gaining followers. And the only way to do that is, you know, connect to people and make it so that they trust you. So a lot of times you got to send links to stuff that isn't going to have any affiliate links for you. So you're not technically making any money on that kind of stuff, but you're around and you got to post it because you got to build trust. So I rate this hot take a 4 out of 10, but if I disagree, technically that makes it a good hot take. So congrats, Dove. You beat me at my own logic. Okay, we'll get to the rest of your calls a little bit later, but let me do my own take quick.
So get to higher ground, stay away from windows, and nail down the dog. Because it's about to be a take quake.
All right, my first hot take was one I sent on Twitter. I said, Nike knows that the sneaker game is a circus, so they're giving you clown shoes. And there's a bunch of photos of various dunks in multicolor clown colorways and, you know, the Jordan 1 that's coming out, the Fusion Red. I said in the State of the Sneaker Game podcast that Nike's strategy is not to make shoes available to you. It's to get you hooked, so you try for every drop. So after all that effort, you're happy and thankful that you were able to scrape by and get 4 or 5. And you say, thank you, Nike. Thank you for giving me these clown shoes after 2 months of L's. I'm so appreciative that I was able to get this hot pink and blue disaster, whatever the hell it is. You know, the alternate hot take here is that Jordan Brand is trying to cool the resale market by making Ronald McDonald shoes. They're sick of the Ann Hebert jokes, and they're sick of people complaining about resale and botters and all that shit. So they're like, what can we do to cool the market? Ronald McDonald shoes. Even hotter take? Big companies want you to wear the uniform of a minimum wage worker so they can pay you less. Stay woke. Sneakers app has a series of videos where sneakerheads tell you a story about how they were able to get their grails, called Grail Tales. Most of the stories follow a similar formula. You know, they went to the store, some mishap occurred, the store was closed, they came back, a store manager took pity on them, they were able to get their shoe. Some even tell stories where they just paid resale. It's all fun. You already know there's going to be a happy ending. So, you know, I saw a couple, you know, Twitter and YouTube people on there. But what Nike is really doing here is they're normalizing the chase. You need to jump through a bunch of hoops to get your favorite shoes, to get your grails. We're not just going to give it to you. You better pray that you just happen to walk into the store when they got a late shipment of Atmos Air Max 1s, because we're not just going to give it to you. Why would we just do that? No one tells a story about how they, you know, thought about a sneaker for weeks, saved up money, went to the store, and then bought it. That's not a grail tale. Nike is basically telling you, you literally need a fairy godmother to give you a glass slipper. So hot take, Nike is denying us our favorite shoes. And when we do, by some miracle, get them, they're just using that and exploiting us for content. Hold on, let me play the dong again. Let me go long on my Daniel Arsham hot take I tweeted a while back. This started when I saw him wearing those shitty aged Diors. And if you don't know, his gimmick is future relics. Pop culture items found in the future. So they're like crystallized or made to look old. Some of them are really nice. Some of them are artwork. Some are clever. But recently he came out with this Pokemon future relic. And I saw this and I'm like, what the hell is this? This guy, this Arsham guy, is 40 years old. He's a little bit younger than me, so I feel like I can speak on this. Those Pokemon cards debuted in 1999 or so. They were way in the later generation, not my generation. You know, I think they debuted a little bit earlier in Japan, from what I saw on Wikipedia 10 minutes ago. But in North America, it was around 99. There's no way in hell 20-year-olds were playing Pokemon when we were in university or college. It was almost all little kids at first. So really, this guy has a gimmick where he can jump from trend to trend and borrow whatever is cool, even if he has no real connection to any of the stuff he's making. So all those other artwork that he's making, he's just making because it's trendy and not making any artistic statement. Is he making future relics of any of the dated items that aren't cool? Are there Dungeons and Dragons cards? Where's the, you know, the Commodore 64? That actually might be cool. You know, where's the California Raisin statue? Where's the Q-Bert? I want to see a crystal Q-Bert. You know, how about a crystallized can of Crystal Pepsi? If he did that, I would believe it. These are all dated cultural items that were shitty then and are shitty now. You know, I should have realized this guy was, you know, not my type of guy when he was a big supporter of Hidden New York. And he's the type of guy, as soon as his Adidas deal ended, he's only wearing hype Nikes ever since then. You know, the tragedy is that he's shown he's capable of doing way better work. He's got a lot of skills. And when you have that kind of skill, you can say a lot. There's an artist, Scott Listfield, who does paintings of a lone astronaut in these like weird landscapes and similar kind of thing where an astronaut is looking on a field and there's Godzilla or somewhere in the background. So you can do this kind of stuff and make some sort of statement on, you know, where we are, what we are as a society. And that's what I thought he was trying to do. But then now he's just jumping from trend to trend. So it went from cool and interesting to art with no heart, no soul. And if you're making art with no heart, no soul, that's not art. That's commerce. And that's basically the most brutal critique you can give any artist, that your art has no soul. You know, if the art thing doesn't work out, he can always become a Kith model like Victor Cruz. Speaking of clown shoes and art with no soul, Off-White and Nike are back. And sure, there's a Big Bird Air Force One coming out, and it's a museum thing, so that will probably be a repeat of the MCA, and that's fine. But really, what I really wanted to talk about are those 50 dunks that are coming out. Who really wants these? You know, I guess the first question is, how are they releasing? It's most likely probably region exclusive, or, you know, it might be interesting that you buy it and you get one of the 50 and you don't know what you're getting. But like the Salehe water shoe, it's kind of sad when the mock-ups are better than what's been leaked so far. When the 10 first came out, I was all for wearing the zip tag with the shoe. You know, it's essentially a deconstructed art project and you should wear it as it is. You know, some people even left those made in China white tags on. I haven't worn an Off-White in a while, but now I don't think I'd wear the zip tie with it. And that's a sign that you're getting tired of it. And introducing 50 dunks that are all slightly the same. You know, some of them will have the aged look and some are just total black. Are 50 dunks really going to bring back the energy? You know, in Nike talk, that's capital NRG. Are 50 dunks really going to hype up Off-White to the pinnacle and make you forget about the 10? No, it's going to dilute it. It's going to be the cooler and kill it off. But of course, everyone's going to talk themselves into it. At this point, Off-White is played out, just like 350s were 2 years ago.
Time for your calls with balls in the comments section. So get to higher ground, stay away from windows, and nail down the dog. Because it's about to be a take quake.
All right, if you're just joining us, we're taking calls of your hottest sneaker takes. Actually, I'm kind of curious if you're joining us in the middle of this program, because that's not really how podcasts work. But anyways, let's go to the calls.
Yo, a lot of people aren't going to want to hear this, but Kanye and Frank single-handedly saved the Air Jordan 1 from obscurity. Prior to those Tumblr pictures going viral, those motherfuckers were going on sale left and right, talking new lows, Chicago mids, shit. You could get 01s for the low, 300s, 400s. Miss me with that bullshit that everyone's been a 1 fan their whole life.
That was Rock Bottom Ron on Twitter. Thank you very much for the call. And he's 100% right. You know, in 2011 or so, Kanye was always wearing Jordan 1s, you know, mostly the Breds and Royals. I think he wore them to, like, Fashion Week, and mostly the photos were, like, these paparazzi photos. But it really was that Tumblr era as well, so they were going viral before, you know, the current version of viral. And even the Watch the Throne video, the Otis song, you know, that was 2011 or so. I think Jay-Z is wearing, like, Breds in that one, and Kanye is wearing black infrared sixes, I'm pretty sure. And, you know, they were wearing the 2001 Breds around then, because Breds didn't really re-release till 2013. And, you know, and if it takes 18 to 24 months from an idea to, you know, a shoe going on the shelf, then the timeline matches up. You know, Nike saw Kanye wearing these, they saw the Tumblr pictures in 2011, and then the shoe was on, you know, the shelves by late 2013. And this is all pre-apps, so the resale market was totally different back then. You know, it was all eBay, Facebook groups, Flight Club, that kind of stuff. So that stuff was going on cheap before then. But really, people do this all the time. They backfill and try so hard to prove you were there when it doesn't really matter. You know, no one's going to ask you a full story about where you got those from or why or your back history. But, you know, that backfilling is really easy to do. Oh man, when I used to be a kid, I had the Jordan poster where he's got the black toe ones draped around his neck, and I always wanted a pair. You know, no one's going to go ask your mom if you had that poster. You know, there you go. There's a free story for you. Free game.
What up, Sock Jig? Longtime fan, follower, love your content. I'm at Killatoaster on Twitter. And my hot take is, you know, the mutual agreement. You hook a friend up for retail for a shoe they want. They hook you up. And, you know, it's for the toe. It should be for the toe most of the time because it's the hookup. But what irks me, you know, what really grinds my gears is when you hook somebody up for retail and then they go and they sell the shoe and for resale. So it's just kind of like a slap in the face, kind of like a pull on the dick, an unwanted pull on the dick. You know what I mean? And yeah, it just kind of, you know, it's just not needed. It's just like, damn, I really was looking out for you. You know, I hooked you up and you're going to go and sell it? All right. You know, that's my hot take.
Thank you for the call. You know, this is just common sense. And really, in the world of hot takes, common sense has no place. But really, the circle of friends I hook up is very small. And even then, I have a one-strike policy. One strike and you're out. But really, I don't ask anyone for ops. I'm never really in this position that often. And if I do, it's going to be for something good, where I already understand the chances are low. And it's asking someone I've already helped before, so it's a, you know, a give and take. But here's my hot take. Always asking for ops or asking people to try for you is pathetic. You know, here and there is fine, but if you're always, like, publicly on Twitter or Instagram, you know, man, that sucks, that's awesome that you got that, wish I could get it, you should try for me next time. And then if the resale price is, like, low on the shoe, it's like, oh, shit, I already won that raffle, so now you're forcing someone to, like, buy something for you and you didn't even want it. Anyways, stop being pathetic. Just try for yourself.
I feel like Nike is starting to make the same mistakes as Adidas did with Yeezys, like dropping a lot of colorways and hiring the stock. You can see it literally in the resale prices. And maybe because of that, the market will change once again. Like a few years ago, we had time where Yeezys sold for way more than Jordans, and now it's the opposite pretty much. And I can see if Nike starts overstocking a lot like Adidas does or did, I can see it happening again.
That was Henry Souls on Twitter with the call. Thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. And this call was, you know, about Nike making too many sneakers and flooding the market. And there's just so many people wanting into sneakers now that there was even 2 years ago. It's kind of hard to compare now and then. You know, early on, Yeezy brand back then was in their, you know, build the hype phase where everything was limited. And, you know, Kanye promised that anyone who wants a Yeezy will get one. And he delivered on that promise. You know, and we're in that phase now where stock is way higher because he's delivering on what he said. You know, that's a 2-3 year brand strategy, and they've been doing it pretty well. So, of course, the resale price is going to be lower now than it was back then. And resale prices on Nike will only go down if people stop wearing it or they increase stock. So I don't see many people moving away from Nike these days. Women were wearing Superstars for a long time, then Fila Disruptors, and now Air Forces. Maybe they'll go back to Superstars again, who knows. All these dunks this year were meant to kind of take pressure off that Air Force One, but it's not like they're easy to get. Even the white on white Air Force One has been sold out and is hard to get. You know, fatigue can set in where it's like, well, if I can't get one, then forget them all. You know, I'm that way with dunks. It's like, who cares? Do I really want to jump through all these hoops for a $100 shoe that isn't even that great quality? So yeah, Nike could fuck it up temporarily, but history has shown they've got a pretty good handle on it. You know, Nike is a warship. If they're on the wrong path, eventually they'll figure it out and turn the warship around. Of all the brands, they handle that the best.
Everybody's talking about Nike winning the trade dress trademark back for the Air Jordan 1, but everybody's missing a point. As more and more people continue to strike out on the real thing, more and more people will turn to bootleggers and then fakes for the most part. Nike has badly missed out on the opportunity to support the demand for their sneakers and the exponential growth of the sneaker market in the last 5 to 10 years. And it will only get worse. Instagram and other social media sites has made sneakers the number one thing to have. And more people will continue to get into the game, and more people will strike out, which will lead to even more bootleggers and even more fakes on the market. And it will get crazier from here.
That call was from Rico. Thank you very much for the call. And this call was basically the opposite of the previous one, saying Nike's not making enough to meet demand. As I said, Nike knows demand. They know more people are into sneakers now than ever before. And Nike knows that if they make a lot, then no one wants it. You know, it's like, ah, dog, it's sitting. You know, I think I'm all right. I might wait till they go on sale now. You know, that's what Nike doesn't want. Every day, basically, Nike tells you that we know more about what you want than you do. Nike will still have their big 5 or 6 drops every year that'll keep people happy. You know, the holiday 11s, these patent bread ones will probably be in bigger numbers than as usual. The real question here is about the fake stuff and the bootleg stuff. And the real question is, are you the type of person who will seek out a fake shoe? Let's split the discussion here and you know, set our terms and vocabulary up front. The difference between knockoffs and fakes. Let's say knockoffs are the tribute shoes like the Fugazi or the Dick and Ball ones, or even the cool Key or Kai or whatever the sneaker is with the lightning bolt. I don't want any of those, but they can be an art statement or they can be a naked cash grab. Let's talk about the fakes that are the one-on-one replica that are made to pass as authentic. You know, something that someone might send in to StockX to pass verification. And I've said my take on fakes before. You know, to recap, the take is that if you wear fakes, you've basically peed in the pool. Everything you own is now suspect. Think of a friend who bought a pair of fake Travis 1s and then tells you. And he's like, hey, check out my Travis 1s. They're fake. And you're like, oh, wow. And he'll tell you he got a great deal on them. The next day, say he's wearing shattered backboard 1s. And are you like, are those fake? He's like, no, man, I won the raffle. You're like, I don't know. And then you're looking at his like essentials hoodie and the E is falling off. Is it falling off because he put it in the dryer, or is it falling off because it's fake? He's peed in the pool. Everything he has is suspect. There was a big Twitter discussion about this, and it was kind of disheartening to see that so many people are on the side of fakes or saying that it's okay to wear fakes. People would always look for these exceptions to kind of prove that wearing fakes is all right. You know, one example is like, you know, think of a teen who really wants one but can't afford it, but all his friends have one. I think in this case, it's totally okay for that teen to go out and buy the fake so he can fit in with his friends. You know, my response, fuck them kids. Fuck that kid. And fuck his friends too. If you can't wear a white Air Force One and fit in with your friends, then your friends are shit. Or saying something about yourself. You know what's great about wanting something that you can't have? Saving up and working hard and then getting it later. That is literally what retros are. We all know getting the sneaker is hard. That's basically what this podcast is all about. But when you do, it's rewarding. It's almost like there's a life lesson here with all this fake talk. You know, all the sneakers I wanted as a teen, I never got to way later in life. I had to wait till like 2006 before I got the Air Jordan 5 with the silver tongue. And right now, I can't even remember if that pair had the reflective tongue or not, if it was really OG. The Air Jordan Cement 3, that's the one I always wanted, with the Nike Air on the back from the dunk contest, because I'm a boomer who was alive during that dunk contest. And those came out in the 88s and whatever, 2011, 2012 or so. It was one of the most fake shoes I've ever seen. Everyone I saw on Facebook who was posting it, most of the time, they looked like they were fake. So I just completely avoided it. I got the Free Throw Line 3s a few years ago, but it's got the red line at the bottom, so it's not a real OG, but close enough. You know, but the real issue here is about status and confidence. You know, what's going on in your brain that is saying, I need this to be complete. I need this fake shoe to be complete. You know, there's the oxymoron. You need something fake to be authentic, to be 100%, to be on the same tier as your friends. So obviously you don't need that shit. You're better off working on yourself. You know, authenticity is never going out of style, so don't wear fakes. Here's a hot take. If you wear fakes, you can't ever really use the 100 emoji ever again, so that's reason enough not to. That's it for episode 18 of the Sock Jig Sneaker Podcast. I hope you enjoy listening to it as much as I did making this one. You know, the point was to have a little fun, get a little absurd, since that's my usual sense of humor. If you disagreed with anything I said, you can always reply to me on Twitter at any time with why you disagreed. My Twitter is at LA3Life. That's at LA3Life. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time. The more I think about it, the more I appreciate shoelaces. A great, great invention.